I've had a question in my mind this week that I've been looking at. It's a question that was asked by the disciples to Jesus. Who then can be saved? Who is salvation available for? Thought of a verse over in to start with in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. This is something that each of us need the Lord's help with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To be able to look at the word of God, to study it, and come out on the other side, being able to rightly divide it, is going to take help from the Lord for us to be able to do it. You ever heard this saying, gone off on a tangent? You know, none of us are above that happening to us. I can look at, you know, most religion today is based off of some part of Scripture. And then from that part, I think it must be this way. We read this morning about the rich young ruler. Was it predetermined that he could never be saved? He could have been saved. What caused him to walk away from it without salvation? Was it God's will that he'd never be saved anyhow? Not at all. Salvation was right there at his doorstep. He was a choice away from salvation. And when I look at a verse over in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, so we're looking at who can be saved. This says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that both thou and thy seed may live. So salvation is a choice that we make. It's available for every one of us. And what I'm interested in this afternoon is I have been looking this week through the scriptures. What scriptures tell us that salvation is available for everyone? Because you know what? Not all people believe that it is. There is a man's name, John Calvin. You know, he's been dead for 500 years. But he had a teaching that he started, and it's still practiced among people today. And that teaching is limited atonement. It's this. Christ's sacrifice was only intended for certain people. It was predetermined who those people would be. So I look at this. What was our first verse? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I was reading this, I said, well, I wonder what scriptures they could have used to come up with that. And sure enough, they had some scriptures. And as I started searching, Lord, what does the Bible say about who can be saved? I found scripture after scripture after scripture, and I want us to look at those this afternoon. And then I looked on their list, and none of those were on the list. Because to me, any one of those on the list that I found would say salvation is available for anyone, for everyone. It is who's saved and who's not saved is about that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you choose. It's a choice of whether I accept salvation or not. So what I would like for us to do this afternoon is take a look at, and really it's not just on this one subject. I could come up with a thought. I read this scripture, so it must mean this. You know, scripture taken by itself, one verse out of a chapter, I could start a belief system just on that and not go out and find all the others that support something else that I need to be following. There is a verse. So what if enough people believe something? I want us to look before we start in Romans 3. You know, people take polls nowadays, and I think it's intended to affect what you think about something. It could be polls about presidential election. And I think when they send those things out and they say 80% of the people are for this one or this one or a moral issue, that when these numbers are supposed to cause you to say, wait a minute, my belief is in the minority here. Maybe I need to reconsider. Well, this one tells us what we should do about reconsidering. Romans 3:3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now that's some pretty strong talking right there. But you know what? I can be in that list that God is true and I'm a liar if I take off in the wrong direction on Scripture. So what I want you to do this afternoon is let's search the Scriptures together. Who can be saved? Because out in the future, we may meet up with this. And it's not so much that I could win the debate because I have more Scriptures in this direction than they have in that one. It's not that so much. I just want to become familiar with the Word of God for myself so that I can know what's the truth. So let me give out some Scriptures. If someone will get Titus 2:11. So what we're looking at is, what does the Word of God tell us about who can be saved? Titus 2:11, and if someone would get Acts 16:30.
Titus 2:11.
Okay. And then this one probably should have been first. John 3:16. Okay, let's start with those three. Titus 2:11. And we're looking at who can be saved. So what will we find from this verse? Okay, go ahead on with the next one.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared in some form or fashion to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What I get from that is I'm looking at this subject. Who can be saved? Everyone has an opportunity to be saved. It's appeared in some fashion to all men. Okay? Acts 16:30.
And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Okay, here's a question that's asked. And what's happened with this, Paul and Silas have been in jail. They've been beaten. And at midnight, they're singing praises. There's an earthquake or something and the prison doors are open. The jailer is under an agreement that if any prisoner is able to escape, he gives his life for it. So he's about to take his life when Paul tells him, look, we're all here. Don't harm yourself. And when he looks at all that and what's been happening, he asks the question, what must I do to be saved? And what's the next verse, 31?
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Okay, so when I look at these verses, I'm trying to figure, what was Calvinism? How did Calvinism come about? When I look at this one, if it's true that we're predestinated, Paul would have had to check and say, here, let me check and see if you're in the list or not, or you're wasting your time to try to be saved. Instead, he says, here's what you can do to be saved. And it was for him and his house. And what did he do? He believed the report. He was saved and baptized. So it was available for him. So what about the verse that maybe should have been first, John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
That's probably the most familiar scripture in the Bible. How can you come up with predestination with that scripture? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Anytime you see whosoever, it's available for everybody. It's a choice out there that someone is going to have to make. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Here's the thing that swings it back and forth. It's not predestination. It's a choice that I make. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so go ahead and read the 17th verse.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So with that love and whosoever that it's available to, he didn't come to condemn them without an opportunity to change. He came to save them. But there's a choice that's made. Look at John 3:19 now. 19th verse.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
See, here's a choice. I'm not predestined. I could not be saved if I wanted to. But the reason that I may not be saved is it's possible that I love darkness rather than light. And that's what's happening in the world all around us. So I want to go back mainly to John 3:16. Because it says, it's out here, whosoever. Every person that comes into this world, what does it say? The grace of God that bringeth salvation. It's appeared in some manner to all men. Maybe not everyone has the opportunities that I have of hearing it every Sunday. But somehow God is able to talk to each soul in some way to give them an opportunity to make heaven their home. So what was the message from the very beginning? John was the first one to give it. If someone would get Matthew 3 and 2. And then it's almost the same message that Jesus gives in Matthew 4 and 17. Okay, Matthew 4 and 17. And if someone, now this one's going to, sometimes this is a little hard to find in there. Joel 2 and 32. You can go ahead and pick that one because it'll take us a little while to get there and you can find it.
Joel.
Book of Joel.
2 and 32.
Okay, let's look at Matthew 3 and 2. It's a pretty small verse.
And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So, how would you even work predestination? This one has always been, here comes a crowd. And he gives them a message that fits the whole crowd. What do we need to do? Repent. The kingdom is close by. And then the 4:17 of Matthew.
Oh, that's the same thing.
It is, except it's another messenger.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So John started out the message, and it was available to everyone that came to him. You remember the scribes and the Pharisees also came to listen to it. And the message was almost a little different to them because he was asking them, why are you coming? You know what? God is able to check the hearts of people. And those people, the same opportunity was to all of them. But some loved darkness rather than light. Some chose to reject Christ when he was available to them. Okay, Joel 2 and 32. Maybe if you raise your hand, he can see where he's going. It's good to have a mic runner.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Okay. So here we see that word again, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And we see it again in a couple places. If someone has, we'll get Romans 10 and 9. And the message that Peter preached, Acts 2 and 37.
Romans 10 and 9.
Okay. And Acts 2 and 37.
Acts 2 and 37.
OK. Okay, and Revelations 22 and 17. Okay, let's look back at that in Romans 10 and 9 through 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay. So what that's letting us know is it's available for us. Now look in the 13th verse of that same chapter, the 10th chapter.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Kind of the same thing that we saw way back there in the Old Testament. What's going to be available for people? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it says up in these verses that we just read, with the heart man believeth to righteousness. You know, this is more than just I'm saved because I say I believe Christ lived and died and rose again. It is saying the belief that I have that he did those things causes me to believe unto righteousness. A change comes about. What is the verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things will become new. There will come a change in a person when these things, I believe in the Lord, a change comes about. Okay, and then the message that Peter preached in Acts, the second chapter, in the 37th verse.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
How would you work predestination if you believed in it? Because this one, he's saying, repent, be baptized, every one of you. You know, he's not saying, I'm going to have to check a roll, or the Lord's going to have to show me who he predestinated. No, it was available to everyone. After he preached that message, you know, that message was a strong message. He said, you're the ones that have killed Jesus. And it pricked them to their hearts, and they weren't out to kill him. They said, what can we do to be able to be saved? And he's given them the same message again, repent and be baptized. And in the 39th verse of that second chapter, Acts 2 and 39, that next verse.
The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know, there they can move back to, right there's where it is. That's what talks about predestination, is as many as he'll call. Well, all these scriptures that we have read so far tells us about how many he has called. It's everyone. It is available to everyone. Who can be saved? Every person that's ever been born is able to be saved, and I'm thankful for that. Okay, what about Revelations 22 and 17? Because I like the verses that say whosoever. It means the choice is now mine, what I do with it.
And the Spirit and the Bride. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come, and he who hears, let him say, come. And he who is thirsty, let him come. He who wills, let him take the water of life freely.
Whosoever will. So here, if you're thirsty, come. It's an open call to everybody. I am so glad that salvation is an open call to all of us. No one is cut out. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. And then in the 4th chapter of John, when he was talking to the woman at the well, I was looking at that verse, John 4 and 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, here's that word again, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Look at that 15th verse. She said, Lord, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's asking, I'd like to partake of this. Did he say, I got to check the rolls? I'm not sure if you are on the list or not. Everybody's on the list.
Yes.
Everybody, it's available. Salvation is available to everyone.
Yes.
And I am so thankful for it. And we don't go from here as we look at scriptures and say, you know what, I'm ready to combat anybody that says something about the other. No, I need the fortification for myself.
Yes.
Not just this subject, but many subjects. And it would probably be good for us sometime in the afternoon services to just take another subject. And here's what the religious world says. What does the Bible say? Because we believe we want to stand on what the Bible says. This one is a real easy one because I find so many places where God says it's available for everyone. So he's saying, whoso drinketh of this water will never thirst. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst. It was available to her that day. It's not even about how much sin is in a person's life that determines whether they can be saved or not. What was the woman caught in adultery? He said, is there nobody here that condemns you after the others had walked away? He said, I don't condemn you. What is John 3:17? He didn't come into the world to condemn it. He came into the world so that they could be saved. That was his message for her that day. I don't condemn you either. Did he say, that lifestyle, I don't see that to be a problem anymore. Nah, I don't condemn you for being in it. Let's get out of it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So, in Matthew 7:7, if someone would get that, and if someone would get Revelation 3:20.
Matthew 7:7.
Okay, Matthew 7:7, and Revelation 3:20.
Revelation 3:20.
Okay, go ahead with Matthew 7:7.
Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Okay, and then the next verse.
For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
There's another little word in there. Everyone that asks can receive. Everyone that seeks can find. I'm thankful for that. Revelation 3:20. Here's another one. Is it for just particular people or is it for everyone?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
If any man, you know what the thing that was predetermined there? You got to hear the voice.
Yes.
Don't be so busy. Don't be so occupied with other things, even my own thinking, that I don't hear that voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, it's not then. I don't know if I'll come in or not. I'll have to check. No, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. I am thankful that it's available for all of us. So while you're in the third chapter, do the 8th verse, Revelation 3:8.
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
So to this congregation he said, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. In other words, you have the opportunity to be able to make it, no matter what anybody else has said about it. You know, I think of this teaching. It's been out there to be proven now for over 500 years. People can choose it if they want to. How many people have wondered if they could be in the predetermined category that I'm going to be saved? There's other teachings in this that is worse than this. I'm in the predetermined category whether I want to be or not. There are some things that we need to just search the scripture, quietly search the scriptures, lay them out, kind of in this mental category that I have in my mind, to where when I hear something, a scripture just pops up. I don't know how John 3:16 couldn't have put that fire out at the very beginning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there's not predetermination there. It's available for everyone. So I'm glad for that. And there's in Acts 17 and 29 through 30, if someone would get that one. Acts 17 and 29 and 30. Yes, go ahead.
17. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
See, that's an interesting verse. What's happening in Acts 17? He's on Mars Hill. And they are worshiping every kind of thing they can have. In fact, they have the one here that to the unknown God. Just in case we miss one, let's worship that one. And he's telling them he allowed that to be. But now it's different. Now he commands those that have been predetermined. No, he commands all men everywhere to repent. That was the message that Jesus gave. That was the message that John's mission started out with. Repent. So before I move to another area, can you think of another verse that I have missed that lets us know this thing is open to everyone? There is not, because I want to go to a place that tells us it's not open to everyone. But before we go there, because really it is open to everyone, it's my choice that can put me over in the other category. So does anybody have any other verse that I might have missed? Okay. Let's go for a little bit to those that cannot be saved. If someone would get 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Somebody get Galatians 5 and 21.
Galatians 5 and 21.
Hebrews 12 and 14.
Hebrews 12,
14. Okay. And Revelations 21 and 8. Okay. So when we look at these four verses and we see the very first verse we started with, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We have read all these verses that says everyone can be saved. And now we've got these verses that say you won't make it in this category. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Go ahead and read that one.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
As we look at these verses, is this about predetermination? That God, he's our predestination? He's already determined whether you're going to make it or not. This is about choice. Each of these things is a choice that I make. It wasn't predetermined that this one cannot be saved. It was, let me give you a list of things that will cause you to miss that category. And again, it's about choice instead of predestined. So Galatians 5 and 21.
Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before and as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So here's another one. I got this list of things. It's not about predestination. It's about choices that we have to make. And I'm glad that the scripture has given us a list of things that I can make a choice. I don't want to go that way. Salvation, you know what? We're living in a religious world that says this list of things will still allow you to go to heaven. Just like we've looked at the other side that says everyone can be saved, We have to look at this side and say, it's possible for me to be lost in choices that I've made in my life. Okay, Hebrews 12 and 14, this one can come down even closer to home.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, I will not see the Lord. Is that predestination? That's choices that I'm making in my life. Holiness. What does the God say? Be ye holy, for I am holy. I need that to be a part of my life. Salvation is available to every one of us, but holiness is going to be required. And can I do it on my own? I can't. But what I need to realize is God can help me with that. That is required of me. So Revelations 21 and 8 is another. Revelations 21 and 8 saying that all liars.
21 and 8 is, but to the cowardly and unbelieving and sinners and detestable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and to all the false witnesses, their part will be in the lake which is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Okay, that must be another translation.
Oh, no wonder.
I was thinking I heard something kind of like that before.
No. Let's try the tried and true here. I was curious how it reads.
See, we
got
to search the scriptures. While he's getting a straight one.
21 and 8.
Yeah, hang on with that one just a minute. I was in a service at Guthrie camp meeting. And Brother Curtis Williams, he's just as straight as can be. And I think there were others there at that service. And he started reading scriptures. And people were looking through their Bible trying to find it. I've heard something that sounds like that. And he was using an iPad. And when he finished, you know, Brother Dan Adams, he won't let nobody slip by. He headed up there to him and said, "Brother, what Bible were you using?" He said, "Well, it was a King James," because many people, after you've done a few scriptures, they just close their Bible and let him finish it up. And he said, "Well, I always use King James." He said, "I don't know how it could happen." He said, "My iPad had switched over to something. It wasn't just something close. It was pretty far out." It just tells you when we're preaching, we're kind of going and can't find it ourselves. Okay, now, I don't know how I got into all that.
Oh, I'm going to try again.
Yeah, let's try again.
KJV. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
So this just tells us that salvation is available to everybody. But you know what? Salvation is not just an open ticket. That means everybody, no matter what, is going to be able to make it. He comes along and lets us know, "I loved you so much that I gave my only begotten Son, and it's available to whosoever." But now, if you want to be in the whosoever category, here's some things that I want you're going to have to follow. Just this peace with all men and holiness, I want that to be in my life. Because it says if I don't, it's not this about predetermination or predestination. It's about a choice that I make in my life. You know, we read that story, that track, every once in a while it'll pop back up to the surface about the dream that the man had of going through life with careful living. And he had this dream where he was opposed a lot by family, by friends, that you're just doing it too strict. You don't have to do all this to make heaven his home. And he had a dream one night that he's going along and he's hearing this. And he's carrying a cross, and it's a pretty big load to him anyhow. And so he cuts a little bit of it off, and it's more comfortable for taking around with him. But he keeps on cutting a little bit of it off. And then it comes to the point where he's at the river to pass. Here's a crossing that he's got to make. And he does not see any way to be able to go across, and the word comes to him, "That's what you have the cross for. Drop it over, and you can cross." And he dropped it over. It barely hit the other side. but he started walking across and it slipped off and he fell in. And it was a dream, but what it was doing was warning him, you know what, this thing is not about predestination. This is about choices that I'm making in my life. What if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. Let God be true, and let me be the liar, if that's what it is. And I will be begging him to show me if that's what it is. I've got to make heaven my home. But you know what? I kind of hate to end on who cannot be saved, because we had so many scriptures that says, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. And God's got grace to be able to help every one of us to have an abundant entrance. Where is that? Maybe 1 Peter, an abundant entrance. Maybe 1 Peter 1 or 2 Peter 1, if somebody gets that before I do. 2 Peter 1. There are some things in the fourth verse, 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. If these be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. Then it talks about he that lacketh these things. But I want to look on down at the 10th verse. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. You know, we hear sometimes people talk about eternal security. This is eternal security. And you know what is happening? I'm obeying the things that he shows me to do. The things that I need to add into my life, these other things that if I have these in my life, I'm not going to make it. That I be able to add these things in my life. It says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. And look at this right here. This trip that we were talking about this morning, I need to be able to have a view of it at the end. I want to make heaven my home. Look at this entrance. For so an 11th verse, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All those verses that we read about who can be saved is intended for me to finish up my race with the gate swinging wide open. Come on in. I've just got to be on guard. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and I am no different from everybody else. I need to be, what is the verse, the prayer really? Psalms 139, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, a way that is starting to lead me astray, and lead me into the way everlasting. That's what I want to be able to have happen. I want to close with us singing a song together. This is what's available for us all. Song number 45. The grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation, their darkened souls to bless. Wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free. Grace of God, so kindly given by the Savior unto me. His wondrous grace is all sufficient, and ours of deepest need are sanctified by God omniscient. If we his promise plead, wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set The captives free, grace of God, so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Within the heart, His grace abounding will give us power to reign through Jesus when the foe surrounding, the victory we shall gain. Wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God, so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Our Father grace and glory giveth in blessings manifold from Him who pure before Him liveth. No good will He withhold. Wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God, so kindly given by the Savior unto me. So when we start to have our prayer request time, and we say, does anyone have Thanksgiving? You know, something we can be very thankful for is that God did not predestine some people to be lost and some people to be saved. He desired that all men, maybe we could say there is predestination. He determined that He wanted all men to be saved. That's why He sent His Son, that everybody could make heaven. That was His desire. But what He did, what makes the difference about it is He doesn't force us. He allows us to make a choice. I'm thankful that He has called after my heart. Yes. I desire to walk with Him and make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.